This is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Jay and Lehman, and today we are going to talk about the martial arts paths, part of the Vitality Powers and the Pan-Pacifica Sourcebook. We won't be doing the singular individual perks, but we're going to be talking about the paths, which will also have us talking about how to activate them, which does kind of bleed into the vitality perks of themselves. We figure that we'll do, after each of the acts in our deep dive in Unhallowed Data, that we'll take a break to do a different topic, so it's not just, you know, like 14 or whatever sessions of talking about Unhallowed Data in a row, and that we have some breaks in between it. So that's what we're doing. Also, you can write us at torgdcd@gmail.com, and you can ask us any questions. We'll read those emails and we'll answer to the best of our abilities. If you want to make comments, you can make comments, or if you want to have a suggestion on a topic that we might go over, you can always give us the suggestions on topics. And if that takes up a whole episode, hey, it takes up a whole episode. We've done that in the past. So let's go ahead and just dive into the Vitality Powers. So activating Vitality Powers, there's a couple of things to make sure as a player with a character that has these, or as a game master who is having a character or NPC, a threat that has these, a couple of things to remember. The first is most, but not all, but most vitality powers at some point within using them before, sometimes it's after a skill check, you're going to expend shock. You're going to give yourself shock, and you cannot knock yourself out with it. So if it's too much, if it's something that's going to increase you above your shock limit, you just can't do it. As well,
meaning
as
if you would knock yourself out, you can't do it. Right. Not that if you can't possibly knock yourself out by going crazy with it.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm going to spend everything in round one, have hit my shock limit. One more shock's going to knock me out, you know, and then I get a fatigue, or, you know, something like is on the card. So basically it is, you have to be able to do the shock. And part of that is, it states page 40, shock spent to activate a vitality power cannot be prevented, ignored, or reduced in any matter. So basically, the idea in Torg Eternity with martial arts and the paths and the vitality powers and such is you are using the energy of your body to fuel the cool thing that you're doing, the vitality power, the vitality path power, etc. So if you're reducing that by, say, a Vav Pain Suppressor, Second Wind Destiny card or something, you're kind of just taking away that shock, and you're not using it to fuel it, so therefore it has no fuel and you can't use it. And those were just two examples, because the Second Wind Destiny cards, that's just so a, hey, while I'm doing it, I'm going to use this Destiny card to give myself more shock to immediately use. Now, if you get to the end of you doing everything and you're still up, then you could use it. But you have to make sure that you haven't expended over that. So that's the clarification. I do remember when I was going through these before, between when the Kickstarter pre, you know, the supporter pre-finalized copy went out, a lot of these, it was like so much word count needed. Mm-hmm. And if adding too many words, or, you know, if I had to change some of the wording to make it more clear and stuff, if it got to be too different, it threw everything off. So there are little things. And if something like that sticks out to me, I will talk about. But that's why the second wind destiny card is put there. It can't be used to reduce it. Afterwards, yes, it can be used to heal yourself the shock, but during the actual activation of the powers, it's not like, hey, here's five more shock that I can do to do these cool things real fast. You have to make sure that you get it all done, and then you kind of energize yourself. It's about breathing also. So the second thing that I think is important to know is they require proper breathing techniques. So if you can't breathe, or you have something like cyberware or occult tech that means you don't breathe, you don't have to breathe for a certain amount of time, then you also cannot use it, because then your body is not breathing naturally. It does state that impaired breathing, so like if you're in smoke or something, that you're still breathing, but it's just difficult. Your training as a martial artist with these paths would allow that, because you've trained in harsh situations as part of your martial arts. So do you have anything to add to that, or some things as a game master to take into account?
Not really. It's just the standard, like, anytime you need to spend shock to power an ability, you have to spend it all, unless it's specifically, like, unless there's a power that specifically lowers it.
Right.
Otherwise, if you cheat the cost, you didn't pay enough, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
So that's the big one. And it does mention if you can breathe underwater, like with gills or something, that's mm-hmm. fine too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's mainly the, I can't have my breath held, or not be able to breathe.
Or be a robot.
Right, or be a robot, or something like that. So it requires breathing, but if you have, like you said, a gene mod or a miracle or spell or something that allows you to breathe in those situations, then that's fine. You're still breathing. So the main reason, obviously, or hopefully it would be obvious, is that these paths can be pretty powerful. So it is a limiting factor in it. You have to have the shock to spend, because you're fueling your power activation through your energy and the breathing, because it is a technique that requires proper breathing to do. So when we get into it, there is a lot of stuff you get, and those are the restrictions. So the second thing is how they work. So we're going through the paths again. Each of these paths have 8 different special abilities that can be performed. The path of those 8 has a requirement, and then there is a skill that is attached to that path. And as you increase adds in the skill, you gain these abilities that we're going to go through. So if something like the first one that we're going to discuss is the path of the foot and the fist, the prerequisite is at least 3 adds in unarmed combat. So you're going to start off with 3. You're going to purchase this path as a perk, and then you're going to have a path skill of unarmed combat. So since it's already at 3, you're getting the first 3 automatically, and then as you buy the 4th, the 5th, etc., again, you'd max out at 5, and then you could get up to 8 through mastery as the mastery perk to get you the 6th, 7th, and 8th power. And that's all explained on page 41. A lot of the powers are similar to perks, just that they cost shock. But a lot of them that kind of simulate a perk, if you have the perk as well, then you could do the power by itself, you could do the perk by itself, or you combine it if you want by spending the shock and getting a extra little boost to it. So that's kind of a trade-off, and allows a little more flexibility for a character, I think. And then the last thing is, unless you take a different perk, but we're just talking straight paths and no extra little perks around as combos, as long as you don't exceed that shock limit, you can Do it multiple times on, say, you multi-target, and if doing something by spending one shock would allow you to do something to a target, and you're targeting three, you could spend three shock and do that. So you can have, they can combine multiple techniques into a single action, with the limiting factor again being the shock cost. So you have any additions for that, or thoughts?
Yeah,
or corrections again, saying, Lehman, you're wrong?
Aside from the other perks that can modify it, you are limited to one path.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the multi-discipline to do a second path.
Right.
Although there is one path that lets you take stuff, you know, from other ones. So, but just keep that in mind. Normally, you just have one of these paths.
Right. So let's go ahead and dive into the first path, which is the path of the foot and the fist, as I just talked about. You have the prerequisites of three adds in unarmed combat. Let's just combine a bunch of words. And the path skill is unarmed combat. Again, so you buy this path, this, and you spend your XP. Since you already have three adds, you're going to get the first three techniques automatically, which is Stone Fist, Leaping Kick, and Lightning Fist. So Stone Fist is you spend one shock after hitting a target. So on this one, you would be able to attack, hit, make sure you hit, and then you can spend the shock, and it can knock the target back 5 meters. And do plus one shock to the damage, or you can spend three shock to knock them back 5 meters and inflict two shock. And then they can make a contest of reality versus your unarmed combat to prevent the forced movement. So it's not a guarantee, but it is a way to, like, make that person move away a little bit and give a little more shock damage to your attack. So what do you think about Stone Fist?
There's a few things about this one. So at first it seems pretty, like, not that good because, oh, I'm taking shock to do shock, whoopity, right? But because Torg is kind of like, a for the most part, a perfect information game, and you know how much shock the enemy has, mm-hmm. if you do enough and they're one shock off, this can seal the deal.
Right.
Same with the plus two. As far as the contest goes, it doesn't say here, but I would kind of infer that they have to have reality to do that,
right?
Because otherwise having to do a contest on every single time you do it would just be a pain,
right?
So it would really only come up against reality rated enemies. And the last thing is about knocking people back. It doesn't mention it here, but there was a precedent set, I think, in the Isle book, that you can't just knock people off cliffs to their death,
mm-hmm.
right? So to do that, you would normally have to be, they would have to be out of wounds, like basically ready to be defeated anyways. So just keep in mind that knocking them away 5 meters might be good, but it might not get you like an insta-kill that you were hoping. And a lot of GMs treat Torg as a much more theater of the mind
mm-hmm.
situation, so they might not even be tracking distance. So just keep that in mind. Different people are going to run it differently. Like if you're in a minefield and you knock them back, will they hit a mine? Who knows? That sort right. of thing. Although it does help get them out of your fight so that your fellow players can shoot at them without hitting you.
Right. Which is also nice.
And one last small distinction is a very underreported piece of jargon in this game, is that it says when you make a melee attack to knock the target back. So melee attack refers to either melee weapons or unarmed attack. Yes. So this, in theory, by the reading of it, could work with a weapon attack. I think it's meant to work with unarmed combat only. I don't know if you have an opinion on that, but the way it's written, especially since the contest is unarmed combat and everything is unarmed, it's probably meant to just be unarmed, but rules as written, it works with both.
Yeah, I would say
Unless it was errated, I should check that.
I don't think Pan Pacifica would have been
Oh, right,
errata,
yeah.
but yeah, you're absolutely correct. When anything says melee attack, it doesn't mean melee weapons. It means either it could be both melee weapons and unarmed combat. Personally, if somebody wanted to do this and they're still making a contest roll against their unarmed going to be up there. This is kind of the case, in martial artists where the person for that whatever short period of time grabs a weapon, uses the weapon, it allows them to still use it. But their main skill is still going to be unarmed combat because if they go and ma master the melee weapons, they're not going to get those last three if they do mastery. The mastery perk of a melee weapon. So they probably will not have a higher melee than their unarmed combat. But for me personally, if they wanted to, grab a sword or do that, then I would not say no. I would do it as written. But that is a good thing for game masters and players to figure out if they want that melee to be melee or if they want to narrow it down further to say unarmed combat. So let's go ahead and move to the second one, leaping kick. So this is another one that after spending a shock, you can gain plus two damage, or after a hit, you can spend three shock to do one BD of damage, which is pretty good, I think. What are
Unless you
your
roll one.
thoughts? Yes, unless you roll a one. So what are your thoughts on leaping kick?
So this one again, technically it doesn't, it just says after hitting, but I would assume this is for unarmed attack, because it's a kick. Otherwise, people would be arguing if they hit with a gunshot. Yeah, they do it. So unarmed combat, one shock for two damage is pretty good. So that is one of the better ones in my opinion. The three shock for a BD is a bit of a gamble though. But again, because Torg is a perfect information game, you know what you need. And so if you already know you're not gonna do it with the plus two, then you might want to Hail Mary and get the one BD and just hope, right? Also, if you're also combining like coup de grâces and other sources of bonus dice, you could get up to a disgusting amount of damage.
So I would agree on all of that. And again, it is important that Torg Eternity is transparent because yes, a lot of these that are going to add a couple of points to damage. When I've seen my players use it, they're like, "Oh, all I needed was one or two more points," and then they were like, "Okay, now I can spend the sh can I spend the shock? Yes, I can spend the shock. Is this worth it? Is it the last one? Is it the first one? Do I just want to get them out of the way?" And then that gives players, a choice of an actual. I have the information to make a choice that fits, what I want to do instead of just like you said, a Hail Mary. If they're gonna spend, if the two's not gonna do it, they may or may not do it with the three shock, but at least they know, that they might not do it.
That's really a lot of the times. I know Mark calls them shock monkeys, but like for path-related characters, judiciously using your shock is very important. You're not meant to be doing it on every attack. And because of the system, you can choose to use it when it counts, not all the time. Or you're going to be unconscious.
Or teetering. You're going to be trading a lot of cards for
You're
those second
one
wins.
fatigue away.
So the next one is Lightning Fist. Spend one shock before an attack to gain plus two to the attack roll when using fists. So this one actually specifies fists, and it's one shock for a bonus of plus two to the attack. So to me, this is just kind of a. I don't think it's like, yeah, but it's also not worthless. I just see it as a, yeah,
It's
it's a
only one
solid.
shock. It's a solid plus two's usually, I mean, it's short burst, right? So people like that. So it's good.
So that's how I
it's
see it.
fine
It's fine. Number four, roundhouse kick. Before making an unarmed attack, spend one shock to render the target stymied on a good or outstanding hit. So what are your thoughts on roundhouse kick?
It's all right. It's kind of like staggered on a weapon. Mm-hmm. Pretty much if you've made yourself a martial art character and you're not going up against like Wuhan or something, you are probably going to get a good or outstanding hit on most things that you fight. So that's all right. If you're going up against a melee or, you know, other martial artist, then suddenly not so good. But it is a gamble. Because you do have to spend it before you see how you did.
Right.
So that does make this, I think, probably one of the lesser used ones.
Yeah, I also see it as if you're going to do it, you might get into a gambler's fallacy type way, you know, or a throwing good shock after bad, you know, type thing. It was like, okay, I'm going to spend the shock. Oh, I didn't get the good or outstanding hit, so now I want to use some possibilities or some cards or, you know, something else to make it so that I actually do get to that good or outstanding hit. But again, you know what the defenses are for the threats, so you can kind of determine how likely you are. But it makes them stymied, then there any attacks or actions that they do are going to be...
Now, here's a question for this. On the timing, when does the stymied take effect?
So,
once they're hit or after the damage? So would this stymie affect their soak roll on this attack?
I understand. Normally things like stymied happen at the end, and I don't see I don't see something here saying no. So normally you figure everything out, and then you apply the effect. So if they were going to soak... That would be, soak is a free action, so therefore it would be immediate, and then the stymie would apply, if my sequence of events makes sense. But again, if you're a game master and you want to have it so that, hey, now it's going to be harder for them to soak or do something immediate, I don't see that as terribly overpowered or imbalancing. So number five, offhand backhand. So if vulnerable or very vulnerable, when attacked by one or more ords, a hero may spend one shock to interrupt and make a single unarmed attack as a free action against one attacker before they strike, or spend two shock to make an attack against any of the attackers using multi-targeting. So what that means is they have to be ords, and that would be mob rules, where you throw in, you make a single rule for multiple attackers of a mob, then you could either spend one shock and just hit one of those mobs, or you can spend a two shock and get possibly everybody in that mob or that attacked you using the combined action if you do that. So what are your thoughts on offhand backhand?
This one is pretty crazy, but it does it's amusingly, the fact that you need to be vulnerable or very vulnerable is kind of difficult when you get into position with it. The easiest way is probably running away from combat,
right,
which takes you in the opposite direction. Yeah. So if there's multiple fights going on,
you run over there,
one, and then, you know, hit someone, and then if they attack you back, then you get to retaliate, and usually that could cause massive casualties. Especially if you have the combo expert, but
right,
we're not talking about that.
I see this as more situational, but possibly very devastating. To, you know, a group of a lot of wards who are using either the mob rules or the combined action rules to hit you. And since it's an actual interrupt, if you knock them out before they strike, then they don't get an attack on you. So it it also stops their attack. So situational,
which might have caused shock.
Right. So I think it's good. I think it's really nice for those type of situations. And when you think of like the one person surrounded by a bunch of the trainee, you know, it's not this martial art expert against this martial art expert. It's this martial art expert and the other martial art school sends a bunch of its, you know, initiates, you know, out there, you know, and somehow you got vulnerable or very vulnerable. And then you know, it's like when you see them trip up and then all of a sudden they just like, nope, I might've tripped up, but boom, I'm taking you all out at the same time. I think it has a very mentally visual, ring to
it. Oh my
god.
I forgot, of course, the easiest way to make yourself very vulnerable is to
all out attack.
Yeah.
So yes, if you're going to do that, then you're going to do that. You might as well.
Yeah.
So then let's move on to 6, disarm. So you spend 1 shock before making a called shot with unarmed combat. To disarm, to give the target a -2 penalty on his strength test to avoid being disarmed, or you can spend 3 for a -4 penalty. The normal disarmed rule in the core books is you make a called shot, and then they have to make a strength roll to see if they keep the weapon or not. So this gives that strength roll, or that strength test, the -2 or a -4, depending on if you spend the 1 shock or the 3 shock. So for disarm, what do you think about this one?
Most players tend not to even look at stuff like disarm. I don't know if I can even think of if it was ever, like, just normal disarm was ever used. But disarm's a weird thing because it's going to be kind of pointless a lot of the time. Don't use it on Tharkoldu, you know, like stuff like that. But it does have a sneaky little use, though. So if they do have some MacGuffin or weapon, say you've got the Hooded Cobra carrying something, right? You could disarm him. The key is you can't, you can't soak it. They can spend a possibility on the strength test, I suppose, but they can't soak it away completely. And if they have a -4 penalty, if they're not like a super strong character, that's pretty good odds they're going to drop it.
Right.
But even that said, disarming is a very rarely used thing. It's very situational.
Yeah, this would be something as if I could see a player using this a lot if that's kind of a signature move. You know, some type of...
Yeah, and the GM's going to be so annoyed after a while. But,
yeah. Yeah, and then he's going to bring out, you know, the cyberware or occult tech or something where the weapon is built in or just not have weapons. But no, I could see this being like a character-driven use as a, you know, I want this to kind of be my signature thing. So then for... 7, we have Cyclone, which you can spend 1 shock to ignore the first 2 points of multi-targeting penalties. And if you have the Whirlwind perk, the hero may ignore the first 4 shocks, or sorry, first 4 points of multi-targeting with 1 shock, or the first 6 points with 3 shock. So what do you think of Cyclone?
Ooh, this is the big one.
This is, yeah, it's the big
this
one.
It's like, this is the one that turns them into complete monsters. They will just be wiped. They'll be Jackie Channing their way through groups, like mowing them down. And then when they come for you, then they use the offhand backhand and it's just grotesque. So yeah, if you have Whirlwind already, it's insane.
Right.
So it's okay, like getting Whirlwind for free, and I guess we never really talked about like those different philosophies on the cost for paths, but essentially getting Whirlwind for free when you take your 7th ad is pretty good. But if you already actually have Whirlwind, the improved version is amazing.
Right. Yeah, and just to restate, you could still just use Whirlwind if you wish, Or you could just use the cyclone if you know without the whirlwind. If you can't get if you have multiples, you know,
Yeah,
if
if you
you
don't want to spend shock, you could still just
still
ignore
two, right?
two.
Two. So there's a little give and take there. But yes, if you have whirlwind and cyclone and you're going up against, you know, something that you might need those to cancel those first six multi-target penalties at and have the three shock, it's really, really nice. Again, three shock, if you don't have ways to recuperate that shock, you're not going to be doing it very often. But hopefully, as you said, you can add this with a couple of other things and then really do those combos that can be a quick burst of a lot of shock, but get rid of a lot of threats. So then let's move on to the last one, number eight. Eight adds, so you've spent your
Raw
perk
Master.
to get the mastery. You get your eighth add in the unarmed combat, and you get Felling the Oak. I know some of these names have come from classic Torg. I do specifically remember Felling the Oak. All the martial artists tended to get this one, and I just remember them always saying, Felling the Oak, Felling the Oak. And even though I can't probably tell you exactly what it did in classic Torque off my head, I completely know that this is one of the techniques. But in Torque Eternity, it is after rolling any bonus dice for additional damage on an unarmed attack, spend two shock to re-roll any or all bonus dice rolled and take the highest damage total. So, what are your thoughts on Felling the Oak?
Reroll any is very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can keep
So
those explosions.
usually these things make you reroll everything, but this one you're like, I'll just choose the ones and twos and reroll those and see how it goes. So yeah, this is very, very good. And you can probably do insane damage. You might be able to punch out a Boraka or something.
And it would work with the leaping kick that we, unless it says, unless I didn't do not see a fist specific. So leaping kick, I spend
Yep.
my three shock and I roll that one. Oh no! Now I'm gonna spend two more. Yeah, that's gonna be a total of five, but I could possibly, you know, get higher than that one. And again, you can choose any and all and you get the highest. So if you rolled a bunch of twos and then they rolled ones afterwards, you know, would calculate all the you would calculate all the bonus dice. So let's specify that also. If I have three bonus dice and I roll a one, one, and a three, and then I roll a 1-1, or say a 2-2 and a 1, because I, for whatever reason, was wanting to try it all. I
You're like,
didn't
I'm gonna
see
roll
it.
all sixes this time. I can
Right.
feel it.
It's the 2-2-3 would have been a 7, and the 1-1-2 would have been a 4. So you're doing the 7. You're not taking
Yeah.
the individual highest of each dice. You're taking the first
If
roll
you
and the second
manage to
roll.
roll worse the second time, you can use the first one.
Right. So it's almost it's a safety net even included in it. You know, you know the minimum the you roll the first one and depending on if you choose specific dice or roll all dice, you at least know the minimum that you're gonna do. So that's also pretty nice. So for the last one on which you've had to take a path, you've had to take mastery. You've probably taken the whirlwind to make seven really awesome. So you're getting up there in your perk cost and your add cost, mastery to get to that eight, the eight experience to get to the eighth add. It can be a lot, but the payoff I think is very, very, very nice. So let's move on to the path of flow. So the path of flow prerequisite is one in each of maneuver, melee weapons, and unarmed combat. And the path skill is unarmed combat. So unlike the previous one where you needed three and then you automatically got one, two, and three, this one, if you were at the bare minimum of having maneuver at one, melee weapons one, and unarmed combat as one, then your path skill being unarmed combat, you're only going to gain that first one. So that's how the prerequisites aren't, they're just to get
But we
you
all know you're
the
going to need
path.
three.
Oh yeah, you are.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to, point out that prerequisites aren't always the skill that you necessarily need. In this one, it's one of the three. At least you don't have three path skills and have to get three of them up. Have all of them to
Yeah,
two
that'd
to
be
get two.
rough.
That would be rough. So, technique number one, avoid and deflect. You spend one shock after being hit to give the attacker a damage penalty equal to one half of the hero's unarmed combat adds against a single attack. So if you had the they hit you. You decide that you're gonna avoid and deflect. You spend the shock, and you can see how many adds you have. So if you have four adds, they're gonna have negative 2 points to that damage.
This is really dependent on whether you get to know the damage first. It sounds like you have to make the decision before you hear what damage it is.
Yes, it would be you wouldn't have to do it before you knew if they hit or not, but you would do it before the damage was rolled. So
So
between the hit.
if they get a standard hit, you know what it's going to be,
Right.
so you can make an informed decision. But if they get a good or outstanding and they have bonus dice, then you're not sure, and it's going to be a bit of a gamble. So I feel with this, when you're at like one, two, or three adds, it's probably not worth it, unless you know exactly if on a standard hit. But once you start getting up to four adds, especially when you start getting into mastery, then it starts being very good. But like, it's ironic because like by the end, when you get to eight, it's crazy. Like minus four damage is very significant,
Yes.
especially given the amount of damage stuff is doing at that point. So it starts off, it's probably not something you're going to use too often at first, but you'll find more and more reasons to use it later. It's always a question of, it's only one shock, so it's not the end of the world there. But if it's just a hit that's going to do two, I mean, even if it's a hit that would just do two shock, it's worth it, right? So.
Yes, because then you're at least, you're only losing one instead of two. Okay, number two, feint. As an action, spend one shock to make an unarmed combat or melee weapons test as an interaction against a single opponent's maneuver. So, what are your thoughts on feint?
Again, this is one that'll get better as it goes because maneuver is one of the skills you need to take this path in the first place. So you probably would just maneuver people, but eventually, once you hit mastery, your unarmed is going to be way better than any other skill. And being able to use your sort of key or tag skill for other things is always huge. Like if something lets you use your faith as an intimidation or something, and that's what you're focused on, then that is always really good. So this will be good again, probably not at the beginning. This is kind of a this is a path where you gotta kind of wait for the flow, as it were.
No, I agree. On a lot of the counts, especially that it counts as an interaction attack. Of course, it's not a blanket statement that, only the interaction skills can be used against interaction attacks because we do have other things. But it's not very common, and especially with a weapon or a damage skill, a skill that will allow you to incur damage. This one, it is instead of damage, but normally you wouldn't be able to use unarmed combat or melee weapons or any other, combat skill against maneuver, except for maneuver. So this does open that up. And like you said, yes, you start off with maneuver. You need that as a prerequisite, but if you're going mastery to get to eight, you will make that your unarmed combat, so then you can use it.
So
And
the big question is, does it count as a maneuver for an approved action or anything
so
like that?
this would be a game master decision. I count things like this personally.
It does have the limitation that it's only against a single opponent, so you
Yes.
can't multi-target,
Sorry.
which is a bit rough.
Yes. But it's if you, it's a feint. It's very nice thematically, you and a lieutenant or the big bad guy at the end, you're facing them off, type thing. Mentally cinematic is, I think it fits that very nice. So number three, unbalance. When an attacker fails to hit with a melee attack, so again, melee weapons or unarmed combat against the hero, spend one shock to make the attacker vulnerable. If attacked with a combined action, the hero may spend two shock to make all attackers vulnerable. So that was that mob rule. If you're doing the combined actions, then two and the whole mob, the whole bunch of shock troopers or whatever, they all become vulnerable. So what are your thoughts on unbalance?
Very good. So if you are missed, then one shock to make them vulnerable is pretty good because odds are you will then be attacking them right after. But two shock to make everyone vulnerable if it was a combined attack is great. Especially it gives the rest of your group targets to shoot at as well, or punch at, or spell at, or whatever.
Yes. So yeah, I think unbalance, again, it's very cinematically in my head, it makes a lot of sense. You see this in lots of martial arts movies, TV shows, and things like that, where a bunch of people attack, they fail, you've, maneuvered and avoided them, they overbalance, and they're all kind of off. So then you or your allies are able to take advantage of that. So number four, circular defense. When targeted by an attack using a combined action, spend two shock to negate the combined action attack bonus. And a lot of these are kind of anti, or like anti-mob, minions type thing, which can be really fun. I've done that with characters where instead of let everybody else focus on the big guy, I'm gonna go around and swipe out all of the minions. And if you like that kind of thing, this would work very well. So your thoughts on circular defense?
This one I'm not as high on because two shock is pretty significant, and most combined bonuses in melee, it doesn't have to be melee, it's any combined attack, so it's probably more likely to happen in shooting. But in melee, you're probably like max plus four from that, most likely plus two or three. So it's not really that big of a bonus to be canceling out. But if you've got a ton of shock, sure, go for it. Because it negates the bonus, but it is still a combined attack. So if they do miss, you can still unbalance them. Now, if you have like 500 shock troopers shooting at you, suddenly it becomes really good. I find the times when this is going to be super useful to be very infrequent.
Yeah, I think this is one of those where, in those situations, it's really good, but you have to get into those situations. That makes it, the line that needs to be crossed to make you want to activate it. So number five, Whirling Barrier. If a foe misses the hero with a melee attack, spend two shocks to immediately counterattack that foe with a melee attack. If the hero has block strike, Spend two shock to ignore up to 4 points of multi-targeting penalties on the block strike. So we might have to go back to block strike and read that, even though we weren't specifically going
after... I mean, it basically does the same thing.
Right. So
it just costs one shock instead of two.
It's very much like the Whirlwind Cyclone. This is the Whirling Barrier is a block strike enhancement, so you could use the block strike, which is basically they can may suffer one shock to immediately make a melee attack of their own against that opponent.
So normally, if you have block strike and someone misses, you can spend a shock to hit them. If you have Whirling Barrier and someone misses, you can spend two shock to hit them. If you have block strike and Whirling Barrier, if someone misses, you can spend two shock to attack them and multiple people that attacked you, ignoring, so you can basically attack three of them for right. free.
So this is another one that I can see is getting rid of minions. The path of flow could be the anti-minion path. Then we have a disarm again at six, which was the same six as Path of the Foot and Fist, so we don't need to go over that. Same with seven of Cyclone.
Cyclone's still good.
Cyclone's still good. And then eight, Calm Presence. The Master's tranquil demeanor when facing apparently overwhelming numbers can be unnerving. At the beginning of combat, the character is not surprised... If the character is not surprised, he may spend two shock to force all Ords to make a fear test.
You know what most Ords don't have? Willpower.
Power.
There's good odds that they will be stymied.
Yes. So I think that's also...
Or very stymied, even.
This entire path, to me, is very much the anti-minion, anti-Ord.
Mm-hmm.
Very thematic, though. I mean, just how many TV shows and movies have that single expert martial artist get attacked by, you know, a bunch of other martial artists and just take them out? And this,
if they are very stymied, they are more likely to miss you, which then lets you smack them back. Right. So,
yep, and at the beginning, you could just boom, make a fear test. And then do all the other stuff. So I think that is pretty cool. So seeing the time, I don't think we have enough to get into Path of the Gun, but we will be able to do that after we get through Chapter 2 of Unhallowed Data. So again, you can email us at torgdcd@gmail.com. Send us your questions, your comments, etc. We will read those and we'll answer questions to the best of our ability. We'll comment on your comments, etc. And until next time, we hope you have fun in your own Cosmoverse. Bye.